Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles, the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to read a few verses as always and then pray together. I hope you'll listen very carefully tonight. We look into the Word of God, some things I've been thinking about. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity we have of opening up your word, and I pray that our hearts and our minds for these next few moments, at least, dear God, will not be distracted by the things of this world or the carnal flesh. I pray that for the next few moments, we will be able to focus and open our minds and hearts through the Spirit of God to this wonderful book and to the word you've brought to us tonight. Please speak to us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to look again very quickly tonight, verse 20 of this text, and I want you to notice where the doctrine, the virtue of gratitude, is commanded with two grammatical absolutes. Look at verse 20. Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here are these absolutes we referred to, giving thanks what? Always. For all things. Now, in premarital counseling, sometimes I will tell young couples somewhere in the midst of that how unwise it is to use absolutes whenever they're arguing. You never take my side. And I'll say to whoever says it, never. You always forget my needs. Always. In the context of accusations, you see, these kinds of absolutes, they're really exaggerations, and they cross the lines of fairness. It's not true that always or never your spouse does this or that. I remember one time a couple came to see me for postmarital counseling, and they knocked on my door, and they came into the office in the old building over there, and eventually it got a little heated. And she said, "I'll give you a perfect example, Pastor. He never opens the door for me anymore." And I said, "Never is a strong word." She said, "Well, it applies." And I said, "Well, except for the time of just a few minutes ago when I saw him, he held the door and opened the door for you when you came into my office." She said, "Oh, well, he was just trying to impress you. That's all he was trying to do." I wasn't impressed by him opening the door or by her using absolutes in that context. Never. You see, absolutes should be used fairly and sparingly in the English language. And you know what? That's why it's so intriguing in the New Testament that with this one great Christian grace, as you're going to see in a moment, with this one Bible virtue, absolutes are used a lot. In fact, they're used all the time. Verse 20 again says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. So it's talking about gratitude. It's talking about giving of thanks with your heart and your mouth and in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Giving thanks always for all things. Turn back to chapter 1 because inasmuch as Paul sort of commanded it there, he also did it. He lived it. He doesn't just write about it. He sort of practiced it. Look at chapter 1 in this book of chapters, in verse 16. He says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, the words "cease not" are, again, sort of absolutes. You mean to tell me, Paul, you cease not to give thanks? Never stopped. Here's the words, always and in all things. Now, I want you to do me a favor and just listen for a moment to these very familiar scriptures, and I'll emphasize the absolutes. All of these have to do with gratitude. All of these have to do with giving of thanks. I'm reading from Hebrews 13. Listen to this. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." The word there, again, you offer the sacrifice of gratitude to God using giving thanks with your lips to his name. What's the word? It is continually. Let me read you another verse. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen to what it says. You know this one. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything, really? Always? All things? Continually? Turn to Colossians, would you? The book of Colossians. It's just a few pages ahead, so we'll just look at this one to get together. Colossians chapter 3. Notice verse 15. He says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." I love that one line in the Bible anyway. I love that little phrase, that command, that expression. It simply says, "Be ye thankful." How should you be in the eyes of God? What should you be as a Christian? Well, of all the things we just read, this is the will of God. I want to know God's will for my life, Pastor. He just said it. This is the will of God. And here it is stated another way. Be ye. Be ye thankful. And then he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God." Whatever you do, do it in the name of Christ, giving thanks to God. Continually, everything, all, whatsoever, always. And there are other examples, of course, that we won't go into in the Bible. For example, Paul said in Acts 24, he said, "Always, in all places, with all thankfulness." That's almost a triple use of absolutes in that one verse connected with gratitude. So if you go through the New Testament, and I encourage you to do it, look up every verse on gratitude or thankfulness, you're going to see that there's a very obvious pattern. That the Holy Spirit is not hesitant at all to use gratitude, speak of gratitude and thankfulness in the context of continually, everything, whatsoever, always, cease not, all things. And the question, obviously, is why? Why do we have this sort of boundless, limitless, unending application of praise and thanksgiving in the Word of God to the Christian life? Why do we offer God praise and thanksgiving, as he says, continually? Well, you know what's also intriguing about the use of these absolutes with regard to thankfulness and gratitude? If you go through all of these verses, again, it is the context, that they're almost all the exact same context. They all give us the same reasons to be grateful. It's also given in the context, almost always, of discipleship. So what do you mean, Pastor? Did you know tonight that you as a human being are a creature of habit? That all of us here in this room tonight are creatures of habit. Infants have a habit of sucking their thumbs because in the womb, oftentimes, they begin then to suck their thumbs. It's a habit. And you know, it's a reminder that almost always people associate habits with something that they think is bad. In other words, you don't just have a habit, you have a bad habit. Gambling isn't just a habit, it's a bad habit. There's lots of bad habits. Smoking is a bad habit for some people, and interrupting people is a bad habit. Constantly checking your iPhone, primping in the mirror, lying or swearing, eating too fast, being late constantly is a bad habit, exaggerating, cracking your knuckles. That's a bad habit sometimes people drive me nuts with. Twirling your hair. I personally have that problem often. But you know, the list of potential habits, right? Habits that we have is endless. Why? Because just about anything can become a bad habit or any kind of a habit, including the habit of instantly complaining and grumbling and whining and criticizing. Well, some folks, their default reaction, their auto response to any news or any event is to complain or to gripe about that situation. You know why? Well, there was a great preacher in the 17th century by the name of John Broadus. And sometimes I'll read these men and I'll read their sermons and one thing will strike out and I'll remember it. And one of the things that he said and wrote that I have always remembered was this quote. He said, "A thing done often is usually done easily." Sort of common sense, but he applied it spiritually. The problem is most people only think of habits in terms of bad habits. In other words, they think that a habit itself is a bad thing by definition. But let me show you and remind you that clearly that is not true in the Bible. We want our children, on a practical sense, to brush their teeth so often, so regularly that it becomes a habit. In fact, that it becomes a lifelong habit. Getting up on time is a habit that we want to ingrain. Exercising or reading or looking people in the eye when you talk to them, good posture, good grammar, a firm handshake, look both ways. These are just habitual things that tend to make life easier, more productive, even more enjoyable, make our testimony even better. However, would it surprise you to know that in the Bible, disciples. Are you a disciple of the Lord tonight? The word disciple means disciplined one. Would it surprise you that the disciplined ones, the disciples in the Bible, are encouraged to engage in spiritual habits? Not long ago, we spoke about Daniel and how he prayed 3 times a day, every day. David did the same thing at a specific time when he said, evening and at morning and at noon will I pray. Paul said to Timothy to exercise yourself rather unto godliness. That word, Greek word, exercise, is gymnasia. So that, yes, he was encouraging Timothy in Timothy's youth to train and sort of practice and develop some good godly habits. He also said, put off the old man, put on the new man. Paul himself testified as an older man in Philippians chapter 4. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It was a learning process. But through time and practice and falling down and getting up again in this area, he learned to be content. Romans 12:2 says, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, discipleship, by definition, involves discipline for the people of God. And good and godly habits can be learned. Again, how does something become habitual? How is it that an 18-year-old rebellious punk, after 6 months in the Marines, says, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, to just about everybody they meet, and it becomes a habit for the next 40 years? Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. A thing done often is a thing done easily. Pastor, this woman, she complains about everything. You know why? Because she complains about everything. Think for a moment about those words in Scripture we all looked at or considered a few moments ago and ask yourself the question. If you cease not to give thanks, that's the command. We're commanded to cease not to give thanks. That means something comes our way. If we're going to obey the Bible, we have to find something to be thankful for. If we cease not to give thanks, if you give thanks always for all things, if you give thanks for, quote, whatsoever, if you give thanks for everything, in everything give thanks, if you give thanks, quote, continually, what's going to happen to you? Well, if you keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, because all you're doing is disciplining yourself, all you're doing is being a disciple of Christ, pretty soon you're going to have a good habit. And, of course, as much as we preach and teach in this pulpit on that mere formality and ritual and vain repetition is no indication of the heart, we're always affirming from this pulpit, from the Word of God, the importance of the heart. But as significant as that is, it's important to note that this is one virtue in the Bible. Again, I challenge you to go through the New Testament, go through the epistles, and look at gratitude. This is one specific virtue that God wants us to do and practice over and over and over and continually and always. The Bible does not say in everything give tithes and offerings. It does not say offer the sacrifice of cash continually. The Bible does not command cease not always and in all things that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it with a check. Now, I wish it did say that because I'd preach it. And that would be fine if you're Warren Buffett or you have a printing press at home. Nor does the Bible say similar things about all kinds of spiritual graces. Because those graces may become ritual before the eyes of God. But you will find, as you study the Word of God, that this one is somewhat different. This is a command and it's clear. It's as if the Scripture is affirming that you cannot overpraise the goodness of God. It's as if the Bible makes it crystal clear that when you do it, that when you make a habit of it, that when you simply obey the Bible, what you are doing is changing you from the outside and the inside both. In fact, thankfulness is the one virtue in that regard that must become a habit. That really it must be repeated over and over again. It must be ingrained, because no matter how often you do it, it is always good. And God is always worthy. And it will always go against your natural carnal flesh and nature. We always talk about little two-year-olds. 1 year, 2, 3-year-olds. They're not naturally thankful and grateful, are they? They're naturally selfish and whiny and gripey. So they have to be taught and have to be trained. This goes against our carnal nature. But Pastor, I don't agree with that. I just want gratitude in my heart. I don't think the thankfulness is a function of anything material, physical, biological. It's just how I feel. Okay, but that text in Hebrews that I read earlier, let me read it to you again. Listen to what it says. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Are those spiritual lips? You know, I've conducted scores and scores of weddings through these years, and not once yet have I ever said, you may kiss the bride, and the guy says, well, Pastor, we don't do it with our lips. We just kiss with our hearts. Never happens. We only physically kiss once a year because we don't become a habit or a ritual. Why not, right? The Bible says the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That means you actually do it. Look, there are bad habits, but this, beloved, is a very, very good habit. You say, well, Pastor, I feel grateful. I just don't ever express it like that, it says. That's like wrapping a present and never giving it. God wants you to give it. Gratitude, thanksgiving. Which brings us back to this. The earlier text in Hebrews and some of the others, you know, it used the word continually, remember? Offer the sacrifice of praise continually. This is the counsel of the Holy Spirit to a group of Hebrew believers. Remember what the book of Hebrews was about. These people to whom it was written, remember, they were first century Jewish believers that were watching their entire world change. They were watching their foundations, everything that they had held to and believed in, all their supports for centuries were being changed or destroyed or replaced. The old covenant, the old temple, the old sacrifices, the old priesthood, even their very nation was turning into something that they would never recognize. So the Spirit of God goes to these believers. And as he finishes out the book of Hebrews, what does he tell them to do? Well, he reminds them of certain things that they ought to be thankful for. And again, this is what I said earlier. It's the same context in Colossians, same context of what he's talking about in Thessalonians, and all the other great texts in Ephesians about gratitude. What are they to be thankful for? Well, one of the things he mentions, of course, is he says, be continually thankful for a continuing city. Let me read it, and then we're going to look at Colossians. Here's the whole context. For here we have no continuing city. What's he talking about to these believers? Here in this earth, here in this world, we don't have a continuing city. That means a place, a city, a town, a homeland that lasts forever. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore. See how it's based on that truth. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The word continue and continually are connected there in that context. You're in Colossians. If you're not, turn back to Colossians. Look at chapter 3 and verse 2. He says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Look at verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And let me we'll go on back to this in a moment, but listen to me carefully. Every Christian here tonight, here's what he's telling them to do. He's telling them, just as in Hebrews, that if your mind is only on this world, only on this stuff, only on this non-continuing city, then you know what? It's going to be hard to be grateful. It's going to be hard to look around at our society and see all the bad stuff going on and to be thankful. But he's giving us a reason to be thankful always continually. Every believer in this room, regardless of your house, your town, your city, your nation, your place of birth, every believer here is an heir. You're a citizen of a continuing city. The word continuing means unending. It means permanent. Colossians chapter 4, turn ahead a page and notice what he says in verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Where? In heaven. What's he saying? Keep your eyes on heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. That text in Hebrews, I'm going to read something to you. Listen to it. This is the chapter before it. He says, but as you are come into a mount of Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And then he says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. That word literally is translated, as many of you know in the Bible, gratefulness. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In other words, if you want to be thankful continually, remember what Jesus said when the disciples came and they were all excited that the demons were subject? He said, don't rejoice over that. Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, he said. You know why? Because that may change for a year or 6 months. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Because that doesn't change if your names are written in heaven. You ever notice how many cities and villages in the map of the back of your Bible don't exist anymore? Well, if New Testament believers, if our brothers and sisters in Christ 2,000 years ago, if all of their hopes and their dreams and their reasons to be thankful were in those various towns or places or villages or cities or their heritage or whatever they had or their bank account at that time, now the cities don't even exist. They had no reason to be continually thankful. We have here in this world no continuing city, but we seek one to come precisely because there is one to come. We have, as the Bible says, a better and enduring substance. Now, I don't know about you, but do you believe that tonight? Do you realize and believe that Abraham, rightly, he said, look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, if it's a continual city, then you can continually be thankful. Then if the foundations are destroyed, then if the country we love so much continues to spiral down, or anything else in this life and this world that's temporal falls between your fingers, you can still be thankful. But Pastor, our nation, Pastor, our country, our town, the whole world, Pastor, shouldn't we be continually depressed and angry and griping about the state of affairs in this nation? Well, you can if you want to. Just don't forget that if you're a believer, you can be continually thankful for a continuing city. I'm always amazed when I read where some astrophysicist or some astronomer comes on television or writes an article and they're just downright giddy, sixth grade giddy, because they think that maybe they might have heard a faint bleep of possible intelligent life in one of the recording stations somewhere, possibly 5 billion light years away. Aliens. And they get excited about the potential and the possibility. And that's become a big theme in our society in just the last couple of years. I mean, people want to travel and they want to go to Mars and they want to find alien life. And they believe that aliens have been here before. And I heard one of the former astronauts say that the other day, that he knows that aliens have visited here. I don't know how he knows it. Neil Armstrong, with the first human on the moon, his name tag on his flight suit said Neil A. And spelled backwards, it says alien. Coincidence? I don't think so. No, you know what? I'm not excited about some possible bleep that someone heard in another galaxy far, far away, but I am excited about the one who created this galaxy and the truth of an unchanging city. For this, we can be thankful always. We can be thankful continually because it's a continuing city. It will, moth, Jesus said this. Jesus, who came from there, said, moth and rust do not corrupt. Now, he was either a liar, or he was a lunatic, or he's the Lord. And he said, there is a place where moth and rust, and you can lay up your treasures in that place. Another reason we can be constantly thankful, always thankful, is because of our unchanging covenant or the promises of God. Look again at Colossians. Now look at chapter 1. And once again, this is the same context in all the other scriptures, as you'll see in a moment. Chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word the truth of the gospel. Let me read to you again from Hebrews, that text about giving thanks. Here's what it says. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. God's promises are unending. God's promises are everlasting. This gospel, he says, we give thanks to God because of the gospel that you believe. Now, look. Why is the Holy Spirit reminding these Colossians, why is he reminding those beleaguered believers in the book of Hebrews about an everlasting covenant, a covenant founded not upon the blood of bulls or goats, but upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because again, they have been watching, as all the 11 previous chapters of Hebrews show, they had been watching, just as Colossians, the whole book of Colossians is about the law. The waning and the waxing old, the fading of that old covenant. You imagine what it would have been like for a devout Jew in that day to see the temple destroyed? How worried they would be to see the sacrifices ending, the priesthood literally destroyed before their eyes. That's not reason to rejoice, to be thankful for them. That was a reason for them to worry, to fret, and to ask why. And they did. Except for one thing, the old covenant wasn't just destroyed, it was actually fulfilled. It was actually replaced exactly as God had promised. You know, early in the book of Hebrews, it says that the Lord Jesus didn't just come to eliminate the Sabbath. That means rest. He came to fulfill the Sabbath and to replace it. Christ is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And our souls rest in him. And that's not just some kind of man's security. That's divine security. Again, Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 12. He says, giving thanks. Now, verse 3 says, we give thanks to God the Father. Look at verse 3 again. We give thanks to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you. And he goes on to talk about the gospel. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. In light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Wow. You know, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but with Easter getting nearer the calendar right now, right on cue, every year, ever since I can remember in high school, those lame, clueless TV specials on Jesus. They're already started. They happen every year at Easter. Passover as well. They show the Ten Commandments. But all these documentaries on the Discovery Channel, CNN, of the history, you know, the real Jesus, Jesus and Judas, finding Jesus, searching for Jesus. And they're horrible. They're shallow. They're about a sixth grade level. They pop up. There have been a lot of books and articles, frankly, in recent days, silly documentaries about how threatened and about how endangered and on the verge of extinction Christianity is, and especially in America. And it's just the most ridiculous notion. They were the same ones in 1975 and 1976 that I watched with my dad sitting there in high school before he was a believer. It's on the verge of extinction. Because you know what? We've read the end of the book. I've read the last chapter. And beloved, besides the fact that God has always, always, always had a remnant, it's really after Christians are gone and in the darkest days of the tribulation that the biggest harvest of souls in the history of the world will take place. God says just before the flame of the candle is wont to be put out by Satan, just before that, a bonfire of revival breaks out in the world. And a numerous number of people come to Christ. So look, be thankful that what we believe, that God's promises are never ending. So that, yeah, if you hear something on the news and it makes you crazy, and it makes me crazy when I hear stuff, the lies, the distortions, the exaggerations, it's amazing what people who call themselves journalists will literally say on or write, knowing they're bald-faced lies. But no matter what they say, no matter what I hear, no matter what they put on television, no matter what movie they make, I guess Al Gore has a new one out. Can you imagine the audacity of someone who told us that in 10 years we would have superstorms, 5 a year like Katrina, and not one of those has happened? The audacity of that man who said that all of us now in Florida would be underwater. We bought a house in Egret because it's supposed to be waterfront property by now. Rip off. But the audacity of that man to come out with another documentary when none of his predictions were true in the first 10 years. But you know what? I still have a book I can trust every word of. I'm thankful. We can be thankful continually, always, for all things, because guess what? The news, the nightly news is not, I don't have to wake up in the morning and open up the Palm Beach Post to find out if God is on his throne. His word is true. Always thankful, yes, an unchanging city, an unchanging covenant, but also we have an unchanging Savior, an unchanging Christ. Colossians 1 verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the creator. He's the same. Remember I said the context is the same? That text about gratitude, you know what it says just before that? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That great text, by the way, right after it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the very next verse says, be not carried away with every wind of doctrine. Because he's the same. Because the one that we serve is the same. We can be always grateful. Always thankful. I was reading a book on Scientology some time ago, and these were by former Scientologists, and one of them said in there the fact that it was difficult because Ron Hubbard, you know, one day he might be angry, and the next day he might be jovial, and one day he might hug you, and the next day he might smack you. And I'm thinking, that's their leader? That's their God? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he says, don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. This don't get worried sick over the winds of change in this world. This world and its doctrines are always changing because there's nothing true about them. Rejoice that your heart is established with grace. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So you know what? Tonight, not only are we commanded in all things and always and continually and in everything and whatsoever in word or deed and always and without ceasing, not only are we commanded, but we have every reason. We have every reason as believers to continually in everything whatsoever in word or deed, always and without ceasing, to offer to God the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name. You know, I've said this many times, and it's true, and you know it's true. We live in the greatest nation in the history of the world. We enjoy more creature comforts than anyone. Most of us in this room, in fact, all of us in this room, live better lives than billionaires lived, if there were any, 100 years ago. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have the kind of food that we have, kind of department stores and grocery stores. So we have more creature comforts. We have these dishwashers and washing machines and air-conditioned cars and iPhones and iPads and HDTVs. We don't have to get up off the chair to do anything, really, if we don't want to. I had Ben tossing me the TV controller the other day, and he threw it and hit me. And I said, And he laughed. And I said, Ben, that's not even remotely funny. Get it? We have creature comforts, freedom, opportunity, free health care for everyone. Okay, maybe not that one. But it is true that we have hundreds of temporary blessings for which we can and should be thankful. But you better be sure, as a disciplined one, as a disciple, to put above all of those and to add to all of those the eternal reasons to be continually grateful, so continual that we get in the habit of it. Let me ask you a question. What are you known for? What habits are you famous for? Well, he bites his fingers all the time. He leaves his phone on all the time. What's your habit? Are you known for being in the habit of griping? Just a griper. Or maybe you're that person who has a habit of being grateful. Well, I would say to you, practice. If you obey these verses, you're practicing. I had a roommate in Bible college, biggest griper, whiner, complainer I had ever met, studying for the ministry. He griped about everything and about everybody, including me. Gripe, 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 gripe. I always tried to avoid this guy. In fact, everybody tried to avoid him. See him coming, go that way. Because he was just a griper and a complainer. He had done it so much, so often, probably because it was how it was in his home, that he was hard to be around. A few years later, I ended up going to a certain town in Tennessee to work in a church. And I found out that he also was working in the same church. At first I thought, you know what? I don't want this position. I don't want to work in it. It literally almost made me think, I really don't want to go there. But I went there. And it was amazing. He was completely different. He was not the same person. I loved being around him. He was so grateful, so thankful, so content. What happened to him? I'll tell you what happened. I found out. It wasn't magic. I'm sure it didn't happen overnight. It was about 3.5 years of a terminal illness diagnosis for himself. The interesting thing is, so every day he had to learn to be thankful for that day. And that day, and that day, and he could breathe, and he could eat, he felt healthy. By the time I met him, came back to that town, and we met up again, he had been completely healed and cured for about a year. But he was still grateful, and thankful, and content. He'd gotten in the habit of it. Now, the Lord shouldn't have to give us a terminal illness to cause us to be grateful for the things that he's given us, especially the things that we have as his people that are eternal. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray, dear God, that we, as so often are commanded here in your word, that we will be grateful. We know, Father, that you are worthy. You are eternally worthy of the sacrifice of praise from our lips. And I pray we will not withhold it. And may we do it so often, always, continually, always in all things, in everything, give thanks, that it becomes the habit of our lives. It's what we're known for. We'll praise you for that as well. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.